If you would, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. We've been looking at this for many weeks. The church has been growing, 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 growing. Thousands are believing. The only trouble is there aren't many people believing in Jerusalem. The Jerusalem church has fallen into famine. The Jerusalem church has weakened. This has shocked the core Jewish element. They had always expected that the Jewish Messiah would bring in their Jewish kingdom. And now they realize that more Gentiles, vastly outnumbering Jewish numbers, and they don't know what to do with them. So they had a sit down, and we found out what they decided was they looked at Scripture. And by the way, that should be how we solve everything, and especially the question that I was asked this morning. I could kick myself that I didn't remember that verse. That bothers me. The answer for some of these questions, it always must rest with what Scripture says, not what preachers say. Every time you read a book, is Carol Schaefer okay? Carolyn? Fisher? Oh, all right. Sorry, I take roll and you switch from there to there. All right, I'm checking on you. Sorry for switching. Where was I? But if I don't see someone that I know is normally usually here, although Carolyn Fisher is not normal, but you're normally here, right, Carolyn? I'll check. Anyway. Okay. Yeah, Wanda changed. I don't know what this means, but they're all social distancing. Good luck with that. Who said even masks don't work? But don't forget that. What do the politicians care? They just want you to show your subservience. Wear a mask. I'm a rebel. Anyway, that's what always gets me into trouble. Keith. Yes. Yes, we know that. Oh. Anyway. Stop this, David. Concentrate, concentrate. The answer is the Word. We must go to the Scripture, search the Scriptures. For in them, Jesus told the Jews, you have eternal life. So what did they do to solve the problem? They went to Scripture. Don't go to the Baptist faith and message. Don't go to Calvin. Go to the Word. If I told you what Calvin or the small called articles or what Luther believed, you could say, well, that was Luther's opinion. But if we go to the Scripture and it says in John 6:64, he knew from the beginning those who would betray him. That settles it. Game over. Answer. The only trouble is you can't always know everything, but you try. So they went to the Word and they found out that God had always planned to include you. Then what was this Israel thing? What was this Old Covenant? Well, let me tell you something. You have to understand something. By the time of Abraham, mankind had become completely, totally corrupt. It was a sewer. If you're here on Wednesday night, you know Lot decided to live next to Sodom and Gomorrah. Woo! Well, what God had to do was call out a people, make them peculiar. What does that mean? Make them more godlike, more away from the sin of the corruption of the whole world, to bring in the Messiah. Once he did, all of that went away. Today, the only true people of God are those who believe in Jesus. That's it. If you don't believe in Jesus, you get nothing. But the church struggled here, so they went to the Scripture, they went back, and it said that God had always planned in Amos to include, to seek out, to build the tabernacle of David, the Jewish king. How is he going to do it? By bringing in Gentiles. Game over. So now you know that you're here on the firm basis of God's Word. And they settled it. Now, in verse 11, there's some things that we need to make sure that we stress this morning. They settled it in the Word of God, and they also said in verse 11, we believe, that is, we Jews, we believe that we are saved. What are you saved from? By the way, when you say, yeah, I'm saved, I remember my grandfather and grandmother and my mom said, I'm saved and sanctified. I don't even think they knew what they were saved and sanctified from. If you're saved, you had to be saved from something. What were you saved from? There you go. There's the answer. That's not popular today. We are saved from what? The wrath of God.
Well, I don't like that God. He's wrathful. I like God is love.
Well, God's all of that. We believe we are saved. How? Through God's grace. There it is. The Jewish core of the church acknowledges they never kept the Old Testament law. The reason why, Paul says, is that the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. To acknowledge we need to be saved through what Jesus did. So they say in verse 11, we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus. In the same way as they, the Gentiles. There it is. That's the bottom line. You're saved how? By God's grace. No one has ever been saved, Old and New Testament, by law. None of them could keep it, they said. You'll never get saved through law. You can't keep it. What was the law to do? To grind home to us. We can't please God because we're fallen. And Jesus saves us by His grace. Bottom line of theology. However, verse 19 comes up. And we have to get into, again, the culture of the day. For they acknowledge that everyone is saved by grace, both Jew and Gentile. They can keep the Mosaic law if they want. It will never save them. They can get circumcised if they want. It'll never save them. They acknowledge that. But we're used to keeping Moses, so we'll do the best we can, the Jews say. However, in 19, something comes up. Therefore, in 19 he says, it is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles. How would they trouble the Gentiles? Well, by telling them to get under what? Get under what? The law. Okay, so if you try to put people under Moses' Old Testament law, Calvin believed that the law could sanctify. Oh, no, it couldn't. Only the Holy Spirit can sanctify. Walk in the Spirit. Somebody, Galatians 5:22. Wanda, read that. Now, why do I call on people to read? Because I know that if you think you may get called upon and you're next after Wanda, you may pay attention. Wanda, Galatians 5:22. And Paul talks about this. What produces sanctification? Walk in the Spirit, Paul says in Galatians 5, and you will not fulfill what?
The lust.
Find that verse and read it.
16.
Okay.
I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
You need God's Spirit to please God. Keeping rules and regulations and Mosaic law ain't going to do it. We don't want to trouble the Gentiles by making them disciples and followers of the Mosaic law. However, but, verse 20. But we write to them, who's the we? We are the original Jewish cohort in the church. We're going to write to our Gentile brethren. Now that's another thing that shocked the Jews. That the Jewish Messiah would make us all one in Jesus Christ. Paul says there's neither bond nor free, Jew or Gentile. We are all what?
Equal.
We're all equal, joint heirs in Christ. He broke that all down. But they want something. But we write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols, from fornication, from what is strangled, and from blood. Whoa! What's this to do with everything? What's this about? We're not under the law of Moses, but then you got this. Well, here is what is going on. Today, we live in a nominally Christian culture that is rapidly sucking everything of Christianity out. If all lives matter, who do you think, what does our government do with children that are in the womb? This is what kills me about people. They get in and they talk about, and they kill babies, and the government is involved. We used to be a Christian nation that would never do that. Well, they do it kind of behind the scenes, but it was, I remember 73 when Roe v. Wade passed. Now, if you dare say anything against killing innocent children in the womb, you're made to look like you're the intolerant bigot, but actually they're murdering children inside the womb. So we're starting to, what am I bringing that up? We're starting to see Christianity completely removed from our society. Now, the United States was never a perfect nation. Many deists and people that weren't Christians formed our country, but they did have a sense of right and wrong, a nominal Christian sense. So what I'm bringing this up is, you were raised in a country where in the background, basic nominal Christian principles, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, except if you're a lawyer. Where is Angela when you need her? Oh, Angela. I'm kidding. I did that for Angela's sake to just say that. Anyway, now let me tell you about Roman society. If you think our society is bad and we're going back to the way Rome used to be, you should understand Rome. The religions in Rome were absolutely nuts. They had what's called mystery religions. And these mystery religions were loaded with things that would, well, maybe not today, but maybe when our country was a little bit more Christian. Today, almost everything goes in our nation. They're ripping away any Christian veneer. But go back 50 years at the time of Leave It to Beaver, the Lucy Show, where there was a basic nominal Andy and Barney. There was a basic nominal understanding. If you go back there, many things that happened in Rome would have shocked you. The mystery religions, they loved weird stuff. What they would do is, and I had to have it in my last degree, I had to have, they did information on this so we would understand it. The mystery religions were totally nuts. They would take a cow, big bull, and they would build a bridge, and probably, and had a filtering system where the cow would step, bring up a bull, and then people in the Eleusinian mysteries would line up, and then they would march through underneath the bull, who was on this overpass with a screen here, and then they would cut the bull's throat, and everybody would walk through the dripping blood. And these religions loved not only to bathe in blood, By the way, where do you think the vampire myths came from? Whoever invented the original vampire myth was blaspheming God's saying that the life, you don't drink the blood for the what? For the life is in the blood. The vampire myth actually comes from a satanic blasphemy of God's word. The myths of it. Count Dracula in Romania would bathe in people's blood. Kings would do that because they believed that if you bathe in the blood of young people, it will give them longevity. Let's go back to the mystery religions. Why am I bringing this up? Because you have to understand the corruption of Rome. So they would put a bull up on top, they'd cut its throat, and then everybody would march through chanting these things and getting all dripped in blood. They drink the blood of the animal. They would sacrifice children. They would had no problems. They were poor. They had no problem with eating roadkill. They did so many pagan things that you'd be shocked. Sacrifice little babies. They do everything they would, just, and then they'd throw the most wild parties. The Elks Club in Rome day was wild. Some of our congregation will know what I just slapped Wanda a little bit there. The parties they threw were completely, absolutely anything goes. Now, this happens in our country behind the scenes. With Christianity has been somewhat of a block so that the elite, when they do this, they have their own little islands and their own little, like, Epstein Island where they took underage children. By the way, they still haven't. Where is Ghislaine, the lady that aided him? Why haven't they caught her? Why hasn't the current administration found her, arrested her, and others involved? Ever since he got killed, there was an island. The rumor is there are video of these elite rulers from Bill Clinton to others, and I want to mention just Democrats, there were Republicans on that, including your current Supreme Court justice, head of the Supreme Court, what's his name? Huh? He was on the Lolita Express. There, I'll mention both the Democrat and Republican because I think they're all dishonest. I don't trust anybody anymore. Why has this disappeared? The elites did this behind the scenes. But in Rome's day, it was all out in the open. Horrible things. Such that it's not good that I mention it, because it's just bad. Anything went. You went to the Elks Club and they had a wild time. Okay, this created a problem for the Jews. As Christians, Gentiles are coming into the church. These Gentiles, do you think that they immediately, coming out of the Roman culture, many Gentiles understood the need for, here we go, sanctification? What's sanctification, by the way? This is all, these rules in 19 and following are all about the word sanctification. What, if I said the word, the Bible says, somebody, let's see, Hebrews. Let me go to Hebrews 13. I know it's in 13, but why is it running from me? Hang on for 1 second. I'm having one of those days where... Hebrews 12:14. No wonder I couldn't find it. I was in the wrong chapter once again. Somebody read for me Hebrews 12:14. Who's got it?
Wanda.
Let's scare somebody else, Wanda. Let's see. Not that. Let's see who was willing besides Wanda, so that we know. Okay, Claire. Claire, are you wearing a mask when you speak? No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Whoa! Did you know that there's a sanctification without which no one will see God? How many know what that is? What's sanctification? What's sanctification? To sanctify something, what does that mean? What, set apart from what? If you can't see God without it, you better know what it is. Yes? So what is sanctification? You got to become more and more like Jesus. That's what sanctification is. All right. So when they lay down these rules, they're talking about sanctification. Here's the problem that the Jewish church had. First of all, they had to get used to having Gentiles in the church. You know what happened with Cornelius, right? Cornelius was an uncircumcised, pork-loving Gentile. And the Jews said, Peter said, it's not according to our law. We can't have anything to do with you. Right? So now they have this problem. They're saved. The Gentiles are in, whether they like it or not. Thousands more than Jews are being saved. But now they have a problem with fellowship, because all of these Gentiles come from culture where the Gentiles have to learn sanctification, or getting out of this horrible Roman culture. You know, many of you, how many of you grew up in a Christian home? Anybody that did not? Very few. You know, if you didn't grow up in a Christian home, you may have had a wild home. Well, all of these Gentiles came from a wild home. So the Jews had a problem. They couldn't fellowship with Gentiles on a normal basis, because why? They were going to all these parties. Do you like your steak rare? How do you like your steak cooked? I know some people go, I like it blood red. What do we do with that one when we get to these kind of things? Because it's saying, it gives. So what these are rules for sanctification, so that Jew and Gentile fellowship can happen. Because the Gentiles are coming out of a horrible culture where they thought wild parties, blood, all of this kind of stuff was, that's just human nature. And Jews would go, I can't have anything to do with you, because you people are crazy the way you live. But now you come into a culture where we don't, if you were raised in a Christian home, you had a nominal understanding of right and wrong, right? Well, they didn't. They were coming out of a culture where to walk underneath a bridge and get sprinkled by blood, to drink blood, to do all of these with wild parties, to them it was just, that's just life. So the Jews in 19 had to sit down and say, if we're going to be one in the church, we've got to work on sanctification, of not doing some things, or we can't sit in the same, here you go, building with you. So here is what it said in Acts. They abstain from idols. By the way, do you know how easy it was to get involved in idol worship? How many of you have gone to Costco or a grocery store and bought some meat? Huh? You like Choice, USDA? What do you like? You don't think a thing about it now. In those days, they didn't have Costco. They didn't have Stater Brothers. They didn't have Vons. Here's what would happen. The animals would go to a local temple first. Because you give the animal to the temple, and then the temple would kill the animal, blood would pour out on people, and then they'd butcher the priest would butcher the animal, keep a little bit for themselves, and the rest they'd sell to a local agora. How many have ever heard of agoraphobia? An agora is a marketplace. So the Gentiles would walk into the marketplace, and all of the meat there, they had no idea. Was that meat given to an idol, or was it freshly butchered? They had no idea. And so this created a great dilemma for a Jew, because they would have... A Jew wouldn't go into an agora to buy. Why? Because the meat was sacrificed to some stupid Roman god. So they couldn't go there. But the Gentiles, hey, there's a great cut. Man, thick piece like this. And so... Idolatry in those days was so natural that the Gentile didn't even realize he was participating in it, because even the food of the day was involved in it. So they told him, look guys, if you want us to fellowship with you, don't go to those local moose or elk parties, because there's a lot of idolatry involved in that. You can't do that. And that's just a fellowship club where we have some... No, can't do that. You stay away from anything idolatry. Otherwise, the Jew could not have anything to do with the Gentile. Sorry, you've been eating that beef that's been offered to whoever. You bought it in the agora. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians, when you go to the meat, there's no label... You can eat that meat from the agora, but if someone says to you, this meat was offered to idols, you go, I can't eat that. Why? Because you want to separate yourself. If you don't know, it's okay. But when they do tell you that it's offered to idols, you have to abstain as a testimony that you're not involved in idolatry. So they were involved in things naturally, and the Jews said, you're going to have to become conscious, even the food you eat is based in idolatry. And from fornication, let me tell you, all of you, you have no idea what these people did with the parties. There were no sexual limits. When they went to the Elks Club, wild parties, and they did not have a sense of right and wrong. In other words, heterosexuality and homosexuality were all considered fun. Anything went. There were no standards. So he was telling them, for your sanctification, in order to keep the church united, you can't be going to these elks and moose clubs and all of this stuff and having these wild... They didn't realize... You'd say, well, we know today. But if you're coming out of that culture and it was so saturated, you have no idea. They'd even have... There were some people that did things with animals. I don't want to go down there. It's just bad. So for sanctification purposes, you can't get near the food offered to idols. You can't get near the wild parties. You can't near drinking the blood. But... It's just a club. We have fun. Can't do that. It's rejuvenating. Can't do that. And from what is strangled, and they poor people would eat roadkill. We came to church this morning and I didn't see it, thank God. I'm a wimp. I used to always think Lassie, when he was in trouble, when I watched the reruns, I really did. Never saw the... I wasn't born at that time, but at the same time, I'm getting old now, I admit it. However, I would always be bothered by Lassie getting in trouble, limping, and I'd have to turn the TV off because these people were poor. If they found an animal on the road that had some... They would eat it, dead. But that was also... making them unclean. So they had to avoid all these things. And by the way, if you want to know where they're getting this from. If you go to the Noah, God's covenant with Noah, somebody read for me Genesis 9:4. Who's got Genesis 9:4? Okay, Willie.
But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is its blood.
So, in order, God, in the Noahic covenant, told them, you shouldn't do that. So, for sanctifying reasons, they couldn't do that. And then, actually, this actually goes back to Leviticus. If you go to Leviticus 17 and 18... these stipulations come exactly in exact order in Leviticus 17 and 18 not to do these things. So what's going on, Dave? These Gentiles came out of absolute corruption, corruption that you're not used to, even though our elites, I got news for you, our elites in your government of the United States and in the world do things and never get caught. But generally in our society, the people who have no power are told what they can and cannot do, right? If you're coming out of a society like the Gentiles did, where everything goes, bad things with animals, bad things with little children, and you're not fully sanctified to know God would not like that, you've got to tell the Gentiles, cut it out. They've got to be sanctified. They've got to get away from the rotten Roman culture of the day. And that's what they're doing. Because Jew and Gentile are now what? One. But in that day, only the Jew, well, at least those who followed the Bible, there are a lot of them that didn't, but those who followed the Bible knew what God approved of and what He disapproved of. When the Gentiles come in, here's what a Jew would have to do. They'd have to separate like you have from others. They'd have to socially separate from you because you weren't sanctified. So how do you have a united church with people around you that are still living like they used to? And by the way, guess two churches in Revelation were condemned for their... here, somebody read this just to show you that this goes on. Somebody read for me Revelation 2:14. Revelation 2:14, which is Pergamum, the church at Pergamum. Revelation 2:14. Who's speaking there? Who's the "I have this"? Is it John or who is it? Who's speaking in Revelation? Jesus. Jesus says to this church, "I have this against you." What is it that you have against Jesus? Go ahead. Now, many of you go, whoa, 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 we don't have... I go to Costco, no one's putting those nice cuts of beef that are 10 times more expensive now. Well, in those days, the church was warned. Don't eat that meat that you know because it's a bad testimony in your sanctification. Idols are demonic and you don't want to be associated with that. So the church was going around doing things... because I don't, in a way, it was the culture pressing on the Gentiles that they did. It was just natural at the time for them to do it. Then we have another church, Revelation 2:18 through 20. Who's got it? Willie, go ahead.
And the angel of the church in Thyatira write, this thing says the Son of God, was eyes like a flame of fire.
What would that mean, that God, Jesus has eyes like flame of fire? It means He penetrates right through and He knows everything. We don't fool Jesus. Go ahead.
And His feet like fine service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. 20. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess.
Now her name really wasn't Jezebel. You ever notice they never name a girl Jezebel? Have you ever met any girl named Jezebel? Jezebel ruined the name Jezebel. Before Jezebel, no problem. But what was Jezebel? You have someone in your church. Apparently it was a woman. Sorry, ladies. There were men that did bad things too. The Nicolaitans were men. And spiritually she was a Jezebel. What did Jezebel try to get Israel to do? To follow the idols of the Canaanites. So here is someone in the church that's telling the church to get involved in what? Idolatry. Now, you say, well, we don't have that today, but they did then. Go ahead, keep reading.
To teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality.
You go to one of those parties at the Elks Club and the Moose Club in Roman times, and it was just natural. And these churches, by the way, does the church impact the world for sanctification, or does the world impact the church? God's people are always being corrupted. That's what was happening. So here, what's the big picture? You're saved by God's grace, but you can't be living like those Romans, where anything went. The Jews were concerned here with, we want to be fellowship with you, but you keep acting like the devil and we're going to stay away from you Gentiles. We're saved by grace, but you can't act like everybody in Rome. And that's what they're trying to solve here is, if you say you're a Christian, what? Act like it. That's what's going on. So they wrote a letter. In verse 23, the apostles and the brethren who are to the brethren in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, who are what? Gentiles. So this is a Jewish letter from the main church that was essentially 100% Jewish to now all of these Gentile churches. We want to have fellowship with you. We want to have Jew and Gentile as one. However, you're going to make it hard if you participate in certain things that you should not participate in. Since I heard that some of our number, to whom we gave no instruction, have disturbed you with words unsettling, it seemed good to us, having become of the same mind to select men, to send you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no burden, no Moses, but you need to work on your sanctification so that we can fellowship with you, that you abstain from things sacrificed to idols. Otherwise, you look like you're approving idolatry. You quit going to the parties where you think blood. By the way, there are people that think if you drink blood, You want to go into something real weird? Dave's going to get into something real. Of course, you're weird, Dave. Have you read about this adrenochrome stuff that the elites may be into? Some think it's a myth. Others think that there are fluids in the blood that some of the elites think if they drink it makes them youthful. Adrenochrome. Look that one up. And I've heard eyewitnesses that say that that's not too far from the truth. And they would think there were properties in the blood that would give them what? Youth. And from things strangled, from roadkill, and from going to those wild parties where you do everything with animals, little children, and everything else that today, of course, because of our nominal Christian culture, we would be repulsed by. But they didn't know any better. For there was a learning curve of their sanctification. If you keep yourselves from such things, you will do well. Amen. Now, how are you saved? How did they say that the Gentiles and Jews are saved? The same way. What's the same way? By God's grace. But if you say you're a Christian and you're no different than the world, another Christian can't have anything to do with other Christians that act like the world and there's no different. If you act like the world and you participate in all the evils that the world does, you know what that says? We can't fellowship with other Christians that act just like the world. Do you know of a Christian who says they're a Christian, but they act just like the world? That's what they're trying to talk about. The need for progressive sanctification among those who come out of a perverted world to act more like Christ would want us to. And that's what he's talking about. So they send out the letter. Do you think the Gentiles immediately will say, okay, I won't go to the butcher shop at the local temple. Boy, but that meat is cheap. No, they're going to continue doing it because they've got to learn that they can't be participating in all of these idolatrous things and all of this stuff. It will take them time to learn this. And that's what they're dealing with, because you have to understand, Gentiles came out of a cultural, Roman culture that was absolutely, absolutely, totally abnormally perverted. And they thought it was normal. Once you think perversion is normal, the word perversion means it's been inverted. But if you think inversion is normal, when you're verted right, what do you think? You think it's weird. And they had to learn.